That is the show into hour number three of that program here on Sacktown Sports. Cattle's out, Jay in. I'm the Rami half, Simone on the other side of the glass. Doing it all with an assist from Kyle on his birthday. We'll get into the snack exchange later this hour, what's become quickly one of my favorite segments on the show, 445. But joining us now on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, very, very proud man today, I'm sure. He was the head coach of the Kings' second-round pick, Jalen Slauson, for 5 years over at Furman. Pleasure to welcome in Bob Ritchie. Coach, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
How happy are you? How proud are you when one of your guys gets that call and lives out that dream that so many kids have to play in the NBA?
Well, it was definitely a proud moment. And, you know, I got to be down there with him and his family and a lot of our players as well. And, you know, first draft pick for Furman since 1984. Mm. And, you know, just to see what he's been able to do in his career and really the progression of his development from going from a guy that freshman year was 19 points and 31 fouls and to see how he, you know, just developed and stayed the course and, you know, to leave here a champion for the first time since 1980 and then to go out and get drafted last night, it was an individual moment for him, and it was also a great moment for our program.
Coach, Jalen won Conference Defensive Player of the Year. To me, that means he can really get after it on that side of the ball. The Kings here have a great perimeter defender in Davion Mitchell. What impresses you defensively for Jalen, sir?
Well, I'll tell you this. And this is going to sound like a stretch when I tell you this, but he's one of the best shot blockers I've ever seen in terms of just pure timing. And what you'll see is a guy, the ability to chase down a block in transition to time things up at the rim. He's got incredible just timing. And, you know, he was defensive player of the year last year, and then he was player of the year in the whole league this year. But, you know, he really brought his offense along and really, you know, shot almost 40% from three. But he's got the ability to switch, which I think right now in the NBA, you know, you have to be able to do that one through four. And, you know, he's just got great combination of size, anticipation, and the ability to make plays at the rim.
Like you said, he can switch one through four and really cover anybody at any one of those positions. Where do you think is his best position? I know the sport is becoming more and more positionless, and it's about what you can do on the court more than necessarily the position next to your name. Where do you think he fits in best or is most comfortable?
I think what he's going to end up developing into is more, you know, as a fan trying to get an expectation, I think he's going to be kind of a Draymond prototype, you know, of somebody that can really play both of those, you know, the four or the five, whatever you want to call it, eventually even be at a, you know, if he needs to play some three, which right now the three and the four are very similar, but he's got the ability to make decisions. And so his ability to dribble at, his ability to make plays with the ball in his hand and really get it and make the right decisions with it is really unique. He's almost like a big that's a guard, you know, in terms of his decision-making. And, you know, that's how we used him a lot. We played him at the five last year a lot, but then this year we basically made him a four man the whole time. But, like, his ability to get the ball to the second side, his ability to really find action. And where the game is right now, you know, that's becoming a very – you know, a hot commodity to find a guy that's a quote unquote forward, but that can really quarterback an offense with a ball in his hands. That's become
here with Coach Bob Ritchie, the head coach of Furman basketball. Coach, I can only imagine the type of campaigning you have to do weekly, probably even daily when it comes to pushing the narrative of Furman basketball, rather that be with the recruit, you know, how good your team is nationally and media pundits. I can only imagine, but I want you to put your best campaign manager hat on for me. Tell us why, and people here in Sacramento, why Jalen Swanson really is a pro ball player and why he belongs on this roster at the start of the season.
Well, I think, again, like we talked about earlier, just his development is shown, you know, his path. And he's an elite athlete. He can do everything on the basketball court that he needs to do. He's a 39% three-point shooter this year. If you look at his ratio of blocks and steals per possession, it's really almost an outlier. And, you know, he can dribble, he can pass it, he can shoot it, he can defend it. Here's what I'll tell you. He's only going to keep getting better. And that's what excites me the most about that situation, any situation. I kept telling every NBA team I talked to, you know, somebody's going to look like a genius in 2 or 3 years because there are some people that question the shot. You know, can he be consistent out there? He's going to work really, really hard. He's going to adapt. He's going to get used to it. And I think because of looking at the trend line of where his progression is, I don't think he's done getting better. And I think that's got to be the exciting thing. And I think he's somebody in 2 or 3 years, everybody's going to be looking back and saying, man, they really got him 54th. I think it's going to turn out to be a great pick.
You know, Coach, you mentioned the 39% three-point shooting, and that's one thing that jumped off the page when I was going back through his numbers at Furman. And the thing, it's not just the 39%. It's that the previous year he shot 30% from three. What was it? Did he change something, or was that just, as you said, he's a relentless worker? Was it just getting in the gym and getting up reps, or was there something he changed about his shot that we see almost a 10% jump in his three-point percentage?
Most of it was just, you know, there was a few adjustments we made to his base. It wasn't anything, you know, outrageous. We really spent some time just to get it off quicker and really just to get off the floor faster. But, you know, we just knew, you know, he put his name in the draft and got a few workouts last year. And that was the number one part of the feedback, was he just going to have to show that he can make perimeter shots. And so we just really focused on making sure, you know, at our level for him, he could do so much around the basket and the post that, you know, a lot of his individual workouts earlier in his career, that's what it kind of, you know, fed off of. But, you know, he's always been able to stick a three, but we wanted to be more consistent. So we just really started, you know, obviously he made a big commitment on his own, but also in terms of how we were repping him, we just made sure he got a lot more volume.
Coach, a lot of esteemed gentlemen like yourself, coaches, you know, even in a win, they find things that we can all improve on and get better. Do that for me when it comes to Jalen. I think you've kind of talked about the shot, but where are some areas you think he can get better?
Yeah, I think looking at it, his biggest adjustment is going to be, I think defensively he's going to be more than fine. I think the way he's going to have to score it in the league is going to be different than how he had to score it for us. And, you know, I think for him, just as he continues, like we talked about the shot, just getting comfortable with the extension of the line and, you know, getting it off a little bit quicker and allowing himself to understand that he's got to play off that shot a little bit more, where at this level he could play off that drive first, shot second. But I think also just driving in straight lines and being able to be aggressive at the rim against bigger people and stronger people, you know, I think those are going to be things that he's going to continue to adjust to. But he's a sponge. I mean, he really picks up concepts really quickly. He likes challenges, and I really do. I think his character is going to be something that just really sticks out. And his ability to work, I think everybody's going to be really happy with it.
You know, last year in Sacramento, we got a rookie who the city fell in love with because of his what these days is a unique personality in Keegan Murray, where, you know, whether it's good or bad, it's almost the same facial expression. It was almost a joke, like, oh, I see a smile. What kind of personality are Kings fans going to see with the Jalen Slauson when he gets up here with this team?
You're going to get a little fire. He's competitive, which is how we like him here. But, you know, definitely plays the game with emotion and, you know, somebody that plays the game with a lot of passion. And, you know, it's something that he's definitely continued to make sure he channels in the right direction. But, you know, you go back and watch our Virginia win in the NCAA tournament. You know, he's a guy that he gets the crowd into it and makes highlight plays. And, you know, he makes those energy plays and he really feeds off of it. And, man, he does some exciting stuff on that court. And you know, it's going to be something where, you know, especially in the NBA, even some of the rules that make the floor bigger and the spacing is obviously even more, you know, widened out than it is in the college game. You know, I think it's going to be something where the fans really, really get behind his style of play and really the personality he brings on the court.
That's Bob Ritchie, Furman head coach and the head coach of Kings second round pick Jalen Slauson for the last 5 years. And Bob has been our guest for the last few minutes. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Coach. Thanks again.
Sounds good. Y'all have a great day. Appreciate you having me on.
And there's Bob Ritchie joining us on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop.
Love it.
Love what I heard.
Come on now.
Now, he's biased.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Coach is supposed to be
that.
We
have to point that out.
That's right.
I didn't know much about Jalen Slauson before the pick last night, but as I did my digging, Jay, the more and more I read and heard about this kid, the more I liked about him.
Yeah, you know, one thing about it is when you see a prospect come from, you know, not a power five, not a big school, kind of that mid-major, so to say, with Furman. Furman made the tournament last year for the first time since 1980, as you heard Coach say during that interview. But their leader was Jalen. Their leader was a person that it sounds like can be a leader, right? Someone that I'll take that and put that on my back. I'll also play like a leader. I'll operate as a leader, and I'm just going to exemplify leadership. And that's kind of what I got from Coach. And the fact of it is he checks a lot of boxes. He's kind of one of those guys, Swiss Army knife. Maybe not everything, you know, maybe not one or two things great, but everything good.
Mm-hmm.
And has an opportunity to, you know, push maybe the shooting up to being great or to be an elite defender, a great all-NBA type guy when it comes to the defense. And you know what? Those type of people, Pat Bev, you know, we see with Marcus Smart. Mark Smart's a little more all-around. But guys who have a specialty, they sit around for the next 10, 12 years. And if defense is your calling, what people love here to Davion Mitchell, then I'm all for it, man.
And I like they said he has a little fire.
I'm
I think the Kings
too.
Need you know, a little fire on this.
A lot of fire.
I don't mind the chill, laid-back dudes that keep their cool and calm in every situation. You got to have some of those, too. But you got to have some of those guys that are the spark plugs and who both feed off energy and feed energy to the people around them. So if he can make the roster, I think that's a personality type that they do need to play a role on this team. Right after this, we've been talking about a lot of love on the Four Letter Network for these Kings all of a sudden. That continued on draft night. We'll hear some of that next.
Cattles and Robbie. Sactown Sports.
That's the show. I'm the Rami half of that. Cattles will be back on Monday. Jay in the co-host chair today. Simone on the other side of the glass. Doing it all. Doing the updates on the ones and twos.
That's right.
And doing a great job with it. Earning her
Thank
Friday
you.
Night.
That's right.
Thank you. That's what she's doing.
I'm talking. Oh, you got something tied down for the night, or are you just chilling, getting off the feet?
No, I'm getting off the feet.
Okay.
There you go.
Crack open a cold one.
That's there right. you go. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do, too. Order some pizza, maybe.
I've been having a lot of pizza this week. I don't know what's for dinner. Ugh.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a lot of pizza. I had pizza last night.
Might have pizza again tonight. I had pizza last night,
too.
And I had pizza on Tuesday. Wow. Big Zaw week.
Nothing wrong with that at all. It was, of course, NBA draft night last night. And it seems that the overwhelming response has been positive to what the Kings did, both the two draft picks of Colby Jones and Jalen Slauson. But I think more than that, Kings fans excited about the fact that you freed up all that cap space with the trade of Rashawn Holmes and the number 24 pick. Well, early in the night, Scoot Henderson was drafted, and he was talking on the show about what he wants to get out of his NBA career and the type of competition that he looks forward to facing.
I don't really think so.
Okay.
I want to play all the guys. I want to play Aaron Fox. I want to play against Steph Curry. Like, I want to get all that bump. You know, I want to get in there. I'm trying to get in there.
So, okay. He said De'Aaron Fox first.
Man.
They asked him, is there one superstar that you look forward to facing? And he was like, man, I want all the smoke. Give me De'Aaron Fox. And then follow that up with Steph Curry. Like,
well,
Jay,
he practiced with Steph Curry, though. So I think that's kind of like,
okay.
You know,
all right.
We've practiced a few times.
Yeah.
G League, Ignite was in Walnut Creek. They were all tied together. So, you know, I want to say he's chummy with Steph, but he's got some familiarity with Steph.
But, like, these kids are hoop heads. You know what I mean?
Definitely Scoop.
It's what they do.
Yeah.
Like, not just when they're playing, but they go home and they watch the NBA. Or
absolutely.
They watch the college game or whatever. And that tells me, Jay, now, Scoop isn't the be-all, end-all.
No.
He's not every college kid. But that tells me that, like,
he's not even a college kid.
De'Aaron Fox, well, yeah, college-age kid, I guess,
yeah.
I should say. But De'Aaron Fox made an impression
absolutely,
on these youngsters last year in terms of who he is in this league and what he can do. For him to be the first name to come out of Scoot's mouth, followed up by Steph Curry when talking about the greats in this league that he wants to face, that's a solid compliment, man. That's a really, really solid compliment.
I agree with you. You know, one thing that I think De'Aaron presents for Scoot is he's kind of got a superhero. He's kind of got that specialty. De'Aaron is known for being quick, super fast, up and down the court. Scoot kind of has that a little bit as well, right? And so I think that's one of those special powers that Scoot is kind of looking to challenge himself, you know, which is why I love Scoot. I think Scoot is one of them cats he's not going to back down. I don't care. Steph Curry, De'Aaron, kind of what we said. And just his whole bravado, man. Like, when you look at Scoot, he's one of them cats that's so confident in what he does best, which is probably play basketball to him. You know, when it comes to his profession, I dig that, brother. I really like that, man. I like a cat who knows what he's doing and feels like he knows what he's doing. And to me, that kind of exemplifies excellence. You know, now you can pump fake it kind of like we was talking about with Zuckerberg talking about drop the PM when it comes to fighting Elon Musk. But I think he's shown it, so we know he has it, right? So I think that's kind of one of those things where he's like, man, bring on the best. I'm ready to go.
Just pull off that suit he was wearing last night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Takes
dope.
A certain amount of gusto.
And the bottom grill.
You know what I mean?
He's doing his thing.
The whole thing. I don't know what had more diamonds on it, that giant chain he was wearing or the suit that he was wearing or the bottom grill that he was wearing.
Boy was icy.
Needed sunglasses to look at Scoot Henderson
sunglasses at night, I'm telling you.
But so then the following day, of course, it's the day after the draft. We got to restack them, right? We need new power rankings. And so Kendrick Perkins took to first. Was this First Take or Get Up?
Get Up.
This is Get Up. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Perkins and his post-draft NBA power rankings.
The Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
We slept on them last year. I would not do it again this season. De'Aaron Fox is a rising young superstar in this game. Was the most clutch player in crunch time. Sabonis, his numbers was ridiculous. He's going to continue to get better. Keegan Murray, first good rookie season. He's going to get better. Mike Brown has the culture. Greeny, help me out.
He's got number three, Jay. Yeah. Number three, and you heard all the reasons why.
And, you know, I saw that he was on was that This Just In or whatever, Max Kellerman host. I can't remember the name of it. And Kellerman put up his five, and he had the Kings. He didn't have the Kings in. And Kendrick was like, man, look, I'm going to take one team out. And I can't remember the team he took out. And he was like, I'm going to replace them with the Sacramento Kings.
Top five.
So he's pushing them.
Top five. Especially, we talked yesterday, Jay, about the changing landscape of the NBA and specifically the Western Conference with some of the trades that have gone down of late. And I mean, I'm all for the Kings' love. You know what I mean? They've taken enough of a beating and took enough hits. But number three in your NBA, not Western Conference, in your NBA power rankings, what is Kendrick smoking?
Sacramento Kings steady rising and rising and rising.
You might have been at that psychedelic conference, is what you're telling me, with Aaron Rodgers. Is that what you're saying? I'll say this, Big Perk. He's been on the Kings bandwagon for a while, and we've seen that, you know, the last third of the season last year, Perk was all about the Kings. You know, he kept saying, watch De'Aaron Fox, love DeMontis Sabonis, love what Mike Brown and the fellas are doing out there in Sacramento. He was really pushing what the Sacramento Kings were, delivering as far as throughout the season. What's so interesting, Rami, is it's kind of one of those things where it's almost – unfathomable. Like, you're like,
where you
Kings?
turn on
top
your TV
three
and
team?
You see these shows talking about the Kings top three, top five.
Sacramento.
Right. Where it's like, and so it's difficult to kind of wrap your head around it in the beginning, but when you really sit down and think about it, and this is something that me and Jason Ross talked about, and this is kind of one of our topics that we had on our notes for a while, the stability of the Sacramento Kings. It's top flight right now between Mike Brown, Monty McNair, De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell. You got coaches like Jordy Fernandez, Doug Christie. We see a couple of assistants making moves. I mean, this they they have a lot of stability over there. I went even as far as to say they have one of the best arenas out here, the atmosphere, the fan base, the gimmick of the beam. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Kings have a lot of stable things going on for themselves. And look, talking head shows. We know what rocks, right? They got to put something in there for someone to kick. I can't believe you said the Sacramento Kings, and they've been bad for the last 15 years and all this other stuff. But, yeah, tides change too, bro.
And, Jay, when you look at the rest of the teams that have cap space, this was from friend of the show, Keith Smith. Of Spotrac.
Friend of the show. We got a lot of friend of the shows, man.
The Rockets have almost $61 million in cap space. Jazz, 42. Spurs, 38. And then there are the Kings at 35.6. But then behind them, the Pacers, 32. Pistons, 30 million. Magic, 23 million. You know what sticks out to me there about the Kings? They're among a bunch of bad teams.
That's right.
Those teams have cap space, yes, but they're adding to garbage. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When you look at the Kings, there are no other teams that have as many knowns, like, with all the stuff that you were just talking about, from Monty to Brown to the roster and everything else.
Don't forget the Beam.
There aren't any. I can't think of another team that has as many knowns.
Commodities.
And that much money to work with.
I love it.
After what they did yesterday. So if that's what Perk is saying, like what they could be, that might not be too crazy.
A lot of options, brother.
That might not be too crazy.
A lot of options.
Jay has a conspiracy theory about what the Kings did in last night's draft. Is that crazy? We'll discuss next. This isn't more Nickelback, is it, Simone? What do we got here?
No. It's called Brand New.
Okay. What is it?
It's called Brand New.
That's the name of the band or
yes.
the song? Okay.
Sewing Season is the name of the song.
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
Never heard of
them. You could have gave me a million guesses.
I'll get some more Nickelback on here. Don't worry.
I wouldn't have came close to that.
Please, please do. NBA draft, of course, was last night. By the way, Snack Exchange coming up at 4:45.
Love it.
And I'm both embarrassed and excited. That's coming up at 4:45. But, Jay, the NBA draft last night, you have a theory as to why the Kings went the way that the Kings went, that maybe it wasn't exactly plan A?
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Portland Trail Blazers, and we're not talking about Damian Lillard. They took the brother of Keegan Murray one pick right in front of the Sacramento Kings, right? 23.
I know there were a lot of disappointed Kings fans.
It had to be.
Right?
It had to be. And it was right there for the taking. I kept, looking at a few people on Twitter, and they kept throwing out names of the.
Oh, it's happening.
Over the, yes, exactly.
It's happening.
Exactly. It's coming. It's getting ready to come to fruition. So that got me to thinking, because soon as Chris was picked, of course, the next thing that happened is what? The Kings made a trade. Traded out of the 24th pick, traded all the way out of the first round, got rid of Rashawn Holmes, for the bag. They went and got the bag. So it got me to thinking, Rami, did Monty and the Kings wait until Chris Murray was traded? Was picked before they made the trade? Was Chris Murray their target?
So you think they wanted Chris Murray?
I think they wanted Chris Murray.
And I agree.
Plan A went off the board.
Then
plan
it's like,
a
you know
was,
what?
Let's go get it's this money.
We already had
plan,
B
yep.
there,
yeah.
and they probably already had the conversation, and with Dallas and said, look, if our guy is gone, we'll execute the trade that we're talking about. I think so.
I mean, it's not crazy. It's not at all out of the realm of possibility. But I gotta think that they were looking to free up. They knew they were gonna have to trade Rashawn Holmes to open up any type of usable money under their cap space.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they knew nobody was gonna take Rashawn Holmes off their hands without packaging with something that was appealing, like a first round pick. So to me, that feels like a sensible plan and like something that makes sense for where this team, like we were talking about yesterday, Jay, for where this team is right now. That money, I think, is more useful to them than Chris Murray or any other draft prospect might be. You know what I mean? Like, Chris Murray is a good prospect, but rookies are rookies.
But I hear what you're saying, Rami. What I'm saying is I think that was a plan, but I think that was plan B. I think Chris Murray was plan A.
If that is the case, And I know a lot of Kings fans wanted Chris Murray badly, and they're not going to like what I'm about to say. But if that was the case, I'm glad. I'm glad it
worked out better.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out the way that it worked out, and they were forced into Plan B, if that is indeed what happened. I am, man. I'm glad because of what we talked about yesterday. Even though Chris Murray is just like his brother, you know, played 4 years at Iowa, so more NBA ready, more seasoned, and can come in here and contribute and play a role on this team right away, or at least a lot of people think that's the case. I wanted them to either trade that piece for an NBA guy, like a guy and a guy would come over and help them, or to trade that piece as they did, packaged with Rashawn Holmes, to free up the cap space so you can use that money to go and get an NBA player who's going to come in and play a role and help you win games now, to a degree that no rookie, especially no rookie that you're going to get at 24, really could. Yeah. You know what I mean? Would you have rather had Chris Murray than doing what they did?
The way it played out, and, you know, I hope Chris Murray goes on to have a fantastic, excellent career, you know, all-star level, whatever you want. I hope he reaches the peaks that whatever his goal is, he reaches it. I wish the best for that young fella, for that young man. But the way it played out, for me, I think it worked out perfectly for the Sacramento Kings. Again, you know, leaning on the word I've said today, Sesame Street style, like, I think it allotted a lot of more options for the Sacramento Kings. And even if it was option B, sometimes as much as we want that one thing, like I said earlier, sometimes it's not what we want, it's what we need.
Yeah.
And it might have almost played out to the perfect, you know, like the needs of what the Sacramento Kings are going to need to have over the next year or two. And the cap space is just, man, it's fantastic. I mean, it's big money left on the table, brother.
Like the old saying goes, sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make.
Very true.
You know what I mean? So, and sometimes when things go wrong, when, what's the word? One window, one door closes, another one opens, or one window closes, no, whatever. Whatever
doors,
it is.
Windows.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I thought they were going to do there, Jay, and I'm remiss in not remembering our guest name yesterday. Do you remember our NBA guest yesterday?
Matt Babcock of SI.
His guy and a couple other guys that
O-Max.
I saw. O-Max was there on the board and actually ended up being the player that the Dallas Mavericks selected with the pick they got from the Kings. I thought that's where this thing was going as the board was falling. And especially once I saw Chris Murray go off to the Blazers in the pick before them, I was like, oh, here it comes. All these mock drafts were right. And they were, in a sense, in terms of the spot that O-Max was going to go in, but not necessarily the team that he was going to go to. I thought he would have been, again, like Chris Murray, good piece, and a guy who seems pretty NBA-ready, two-way player. He'll play some defense for you. He can hit some threes. I thought, but even that being said, same thing as I said about Chris Murray. Give me the proven commodity,
no doubt,
over either one of those guys, over O-Max or Chris Murray. So, Jay,
I just think it was going to happen. There was no possible, Rami, there's no possible way you're walking by Keegan and you're Monty McNair or Wes Wilcox, assistant general manager, and Chris Murray was on the board, and you make the trade, and you're like, what's up? if you're Keegan, I'm making the text message to Monty. I know you guys did not just not draft my brother. There's no way, right? No way did it happen.
Oh, Kings Nation would have lost their mind, too. Twitter would have been ablaze. If they had a shot at Chris Murray and just traded, passed up on him. That would have been something to behold. I would have enjoyed Twitter last night.
It's going up tonight for sure.
Guaranteed.
For sure. For sure it is. You know what else is going on? The Snack Exchange. It's happening next. We open it up on Cattles and Rami. That is the show. I'm Rami. Jay in for Cattles today. Simone on the other side of the glass. It is 4:46, which means time to check out Capital Casino. Conveniently located at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. It also means it's Friday. It's time to open up the Snack Exchange on the Cattles
Love
and
it.
Rami show. That's what that bell means,
I'm
right?
Talking
there.
About bang that bell.
I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed.
Again?
As we sit here today.
Come on, Rami. Look, it's not
two
just,
times in a month or not, something like that.
It's not just that I did not bring any. I don't have any snacks here in the studio. I have no snacks. Like, there's not. My fridge is empty. My pantry, my cupboards are empty. We were out of town and then came back and we were both sick. I haven't been to this grocery store in 2 weeks. My house is a sad. It's dirty because we haven't had time or energy to clean since we came back. There's no food in the fridge. It's a
what
sad.
What are you guys eating over here?
It's a soup? Sad situation, right? Saltines? It was soup for 2 days.
Oh, and okay. Then he said pizza.
And then we ordered pizza last night.
You went greasy.
That's it.
Attaboy. Where'd you get the pizza from?
Pieology.
Oh, okay, y'all know. Got the personals.
Yeah, we got okay. Little personal pizzas. Gotcha. I got meatballs, roasted red peppers, and onions.
What's Pieology over there by you? Off
it's
of Broadway?
On 15th and I want to say that's K Street, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere down there. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay.
It's on 15th Street.
Walkable.
No, 16th Street.
16th, yeah, because it goes
Street.
Northbound. Yep,
yeah,
yep, yep.
16th Street. And walkable. I want to say K Street, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, very walkable.
Wow.
Yes,
love
sir.
It. Love
so,
it.
Yeah.
I like Pieology, brother.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
my first time trying it. It was solid.
It's all right.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
right.
it.
It's
so,
like a Chipotle joint where
yes.
you like put your own ingredients on
I
it?
I did not go. The girlfriend picked it up for me.
Wonderful.
Because
oh, yeah.
I was ready to pass out when I came home from work.
Understandable.
So,
understandable.
So she went and grabbed it.
We're going to let you pass again here one more
and
time.
And I appreciate that. I'm
going to
double down next week. I'll double down next week. But this is where we just exchange snacks on the show because we like snacks.
I'm going
to have some fun. What do you got there, Jay, before we get into
a
what
lot
Simone?
Of chocolate today.
Simone is very excited about what she brought
yes.
in. Let's,
okay,
let's,
well,
let's go
ladies
with that
first always.
Well, okay,
yeah,
all right,
first
Simone,
always.
what are we looking at?
Is
I mean,
that
I
what
see,
this is in this bag right here, Simone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I see a
snacky,
chocolate chip cookie.
Snacky clusters. So I thought about you guys. It has, what is it, roasted corn dippers, potato chips.
What?
And mini chocolate pretzels with peanut butter.
I'm looking
in
at
a little,
yeah.
in a little cluster, huh?
Yes.
Dippers.
Yes.
Which are like, what, corn chips or something?
Yeah. So it's tapping in on that
sea
sweet,
salt,
salty.
Potato chips.
Yeah.
Is this a Trader Joe's
yes.
specialty?
Yes.
I think
yes,
she
yes.
put
we
some for you.
Oh, did she?
Your,
well,
yeah.
I'm in the bag. I apologize.
Yep.
My bad, Samara.
You're
I just
right.
washed my
You're
hands.
All right, baby.
Wow.
These are all about them. I'm in. I mean, all right.
Sweet and salty.
Yeah, I'm here for this.
Oh my God, Nick would hate this if he was here.
I'm in. I'm with you.
I knew. I literally saw them as I was checking out yesterday.
These
I was
are
like,
real
done,
good.
Done, done, done. Good. I'm glad you like
these
them.
These are real good.
The other selection in your cup, I want you guys to taste first, and then I'll tell you what that's about.
It's
but
a
I think
chip
you're
going to
be well. Yeah, try it out.
It's a chalky chip cookie.
I mean, and it's nothing. It's not a California chocolate chip cookie, if you know what I mean.
Soft.
Tasty.
Chocolatey. Is there a little bit of sea salt there?
I will tell you, it is a vegan chocolate chip cookie.
How dare you do that to me?
Are Simone? You upset with that? I knew it would get you. You thought it was absolutely delicious before.
How dare you?
You got them, Simone?
A vegan chocolate chip cookie.
Now,
that
what
you
makes
thought
it vegan? No eggs, no milk? What?
Yes,
okay.
That's vegan. So.
No butter?
Yes,
no
I didn't
egg,
make it.
No milk, no butter.
That was from the Sacramento Co-op.
So let me say that I love the Sacramento Co-op, by
yes.
the way.
Yes.
Dude,
shout out.
Have
off.
You been to the Sacramento
Salute.
Co-op?
I don't think I have.
Dude.
What?
No, let me tell you
And you
something.
Love to cook. You have
to
go.
Let
and
me
it's
tell you
beautiful.
Something.
Just gave me something to do this weekend.
Let
there
me
you go.
Tell you something, Rami. You talking about options? Word of the day? Oh, man. Are you a Whole Foods guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Man, first of all, Whole Foods, you can go to Whole Foods and spend $100 and get a bag.
Yes.
Like, you come out with
asparagus
one bag.
Water.
Right. Right. Literally.
You
and
an
aloe vera plant. That's it, right? So it's a little, you got to have your Rami Maklouf paper. Hmm. Your paper got to be right.
Quartzite cattle.
That's right. That too, very much so. But I love the hot bar there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. You can make your own pizza.
At? How come I don't know about this? How have I not heard about this?
Street
yet?
And... My
yeah,
goodness, 28?
Something right over 29? By the RT, right?
Regional right
transit.
Next to the freeway. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the side street for some odd reason. I'm blanking because I'm thinking about food. But if you have an opportunity, slide.
Dude.
When I say get in that thing.
Salad.
I'm saying, we're doing it this weekend.
Man, love
Maybe
the,
tonight. Are they open on a Friday night?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Oh, we might head over there
it's
tonight for dinner.
It's a co-op.
Good
open
atmosphere.
Until 10 every day.
Yeah, go upstairs, eat a little bit off the hot bar. Man, they have... Dude,
I've never been upstairs.
Next week, I'm bringing the red velvet cupcake. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes,
my
yes, yes.
goodness. I could eat four of them things right now.
Also, we're doing it so big next Friday. I think I'm going to try and employ Debbie to cook something. My mom. It's going to be crazy. I'm bringing an air fryer. It's going to be obscene.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. But I am generally against, like, vegan cookies and baked goods and things like that. That's pretty good,
Simone.
That
was delicious.
I got to admit, I got to put my pride aside.
There you go.
And admit that that was pretty solid.
We also have a roll call going on in the YouTube. Mm-hmm. I've asked everyone to list their dinner options. Oh. I don't see Willie yet. I'm very upset.
Where is Willie?
I don't know. I've put an ATV out on
given him. Willie's diet. The fact
that
he's okay. That is true. I will say this. I'm not a chocolate chip person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not a chocolate chip.
What? That's the best cookie there is.
Absolutely.
We're fighting. I'm going to fight you.
What kind of cookie do you like, Jay? What do you mean you're not a chocolate chip person?
Don't say oatmeal either. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm a sugar cookie guy.
Okay.
Love the snickerdoodle joint. Love the toffee butter. Red velvet. I'm not a chocolate chip person.
That's
I like peanut butter.
That is un-American.
Well, un-American to not like a chocolate chip cookie.
My people don't come from here.
But America's.
But it's okay for me. I'm not a chocolate chip fan. If I am to eat a chocolate chip cookie, it's definitely has to be chewy kind. Like, I hate the crispy chocolate chip. Like, that's not for me. Break your teeth.
Yeah, I could go either way.
Brittle style. Really?
Yeah. Just give me a chocolate chip cookie. Not stale, but like, if it has a little crunch to it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, like a Chips Ahoy type of thing.
Nah,
yeah,
I can't stand them things.
I'll eat that.
Them things are anchors, man. Them like coins, like quarters. You might as well eat quarters.
Simone, before we get to what our listeners and YouTube viewers are having for dinner, let's try what Jay brought in for us in today's
episode. As you can see, I am not a chocolate chip cookie guy. I'm not the biggest brownie guy, but the Duet Bites, man.
What is a Duet Bite?
I'm gonna let you jump on it first. Go ahead, jump in there. And
I think I see what's going on here.
Yeah, you've seen these.
It's like
you've
half brownie, half
pound cake type joint or something. Yeah, dude, all about it.
Yeah,
all about it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, throw some milk in that joint,
mm-hmm.
and I'm ready to call home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to do it. So
yeah, I could see dunking this in like a cup of milk, a cup of coffee. Oh, really good.
All she wrote.
Simone, did you try this yet? It's really good. At first, I thought it was something dipped in chocolate, but when I took it out, it's like, it's like half brown. Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
I'll save the other
brookie.
Half for the
it's
break.
Brookie,
I've done enough, right? chewing on Mike. But, it is. It's like a brookie. Is that pound cake? What is the second? I think it's pound cake.
Yeah, it's got something to it, man. But I caught these one day as you know, we're all snackers here. We all try different things on the Cattles and Rami show, sir. Beside probably Cattles. Cattle's not really
it's a Madeline. Madeline half brownie.
Wow. That's what it is, Madeline. Have you ever had the Madeline cookie?
I've never heard of a Madeline.
Oh, we bring it out in next week, too.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Dude.
Next week's going to be glorious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
You better bring something.
Simone, what are people having for dinner? What are the Cattles and Rami?
Let's see what we got.
I'm going to have a Duet Bite.
Very quickly before we go to break, I'm seeing a lot of talk about hot dogs, potato salad.
A lot of hot dog talk out there.
Wait a minute. Before we do go, I don't mean to cut you off. Hot dogs. What are we breaking down hot dogs for here?
I've asked the YouTube to do a roll call of what they're enjoying for dinner tonight.
Right.
And a lot of them are enjoying hot dogs. That's
Megadeth,
what I'm seeing. Yeah. Manny
else?
Too Legit.
Manny Too Legit's having hot dogs.
What, now, are they dressing these things up?
I would assume so.
With ketchup?
With ketchup.
I would hope not.
Okay.
That's
I'm very, very
blasphemous. It's an abomination.
Real quick,
that is.
Because I don't eat beef anymore, and I haven't eaten beef for close to 3 years now at this point. I'm a chicken person. I like the chicken or the turkey hot dog.
Yeah.
Is that blasphemy at this point?
I mean,
don't get me wrong. I'm not arguing saying beef isn't the one. But
no, because people have health concerns and things of that sort, but they still want to enjoy a hot dog. And also, when it comes to really any kind of sausage, it's not so much about the kind of meat that it is that's giving it the flavor. More times than not, it's the seasonings and the flavorings that they're adding to it that's really giving it its distinct flavor that sets it apart from any other meat that comes in the same shape and size.
Okay.
Come on now. Are we really?
Shots out to the stir fry by Chris Wright. I'm with all of that.
Ooh, love stir fry.
Shots out.
Man, you're getting
legit
my appetite
too. Steak
back.
And rice.
That's a good sign, right?
Absolutely.
When you're coming out of a little sickness, you're getting your appetite back.
Dude,
that's good.
I wish I could have some steak.
I think I got my swagger back.
That's exactly how I feel after being sick for 7 straight days. Top spot right after this.
Cattles and Ronnie. Sacktown Sports.